I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Open them up to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 13, 14, and 15 for our scripture reading tonight. Before we do that, though, let me just introduce Travis Pillow. I met Travis, it's been about 3 weeks ago now. Of course, his mom and dad, Gary and Kim, came the first Sunday night of the new year. They had been friends with Brian and Kelly, and they hadn't seen each other for a while, and they met in a restaurant that they liked to eat in. And Brian and Kelly invited them to come to church, and I think Gary and Kim have been here every service since then. But I had the privilege of going over there to their house one Friday night just to visit with them. And the kids had come, I think, already. I'd already met them. But it was over at their house that Travis and his mom and dad shared with me that he had surrendered to preach, I think, back in October, and had not had the opportunity to preach yet. And I called him after I said, Travis, I said, you need to get in the saddle, man. You need to get in the pulpit. And so it's a real, real joy for me tonight as a pastor to just have a part in the start of his ministry. And I want you to know, I prayed for you. Hours and hours and hours the past couple weeks. Because you know what this country needs more than anything else is young people that will do what God calls them to do. Amen. And it's too easy. It's way too easy to get caught up in the things of the world and the priorities of the world and not do what God says to do. And so what a privilege for me as a pastor, what a privilege for us as a church to be here and be a part of the first sermon that this young man preaches. And I pray like Gary did in his prayer when he blessed the offering. I pray this just be the start of something great. And by the way, until he gets ready to go to school, we'll be seeing him again. I mean, I hope you don't think that this is just a one-time thing, Travis, and it's going to be over. I mean, we got Wednesday night, and Brother Leonard already told me, he said, hey, I'll use him 1 week to teach Sunday school. We're gonna let you feel what it is to prepare sermon after sermon after sermon, and give you an opportunity to share what the Lord lays on your heart. And so, I just want you to know what a privilege for me, and I think what a privilege for our church to be able to give you this opportunity. And we've been praying for you, and I know the Lord's going to use you. And so we're going to read the scripture together. Kelly's going to come back and sing for us again. And then, Travis, you come, the pulpit's yours, you share with us what the Lord's laid on your heart. So stand with me, please, as we honor the Word of God. Judges chapter 6, beginning in verse 13, going down through verse 15. Here's what the Bible says. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. What a wonderful, wonderful time this is. And I pray that as you've been in the first part of the service, that you, Holy Spirit, will be in the rest of the service that follows. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak to our hearts. Use Travis. Speak through him, Father. Empower him. Give him clarity of thought. And I pray that if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, as they hear the gospel, they will make that decision. We just give ourselves to you, Holy Spirit, ask you to work in our lives and do in each of our lives what needs to be done. Help us to not only listen, but to be obedient and to follow your leadership. Thank you for Kelly. Bless her as she sings again. Again, use the message of the song to prepare our hearts even further for the spoken word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As most of you know, my name is Travis Pillow, and I feel honored to be here with you people right now. The church I was at didn't give me this opportunity, and when Pastor Manning first asked me, I wanted to puke. I really did. I wanted to just walk away, and you can do it. You can have your pulpit. You can do it for me. I'd like to start by saying thank you. It's a wonderful opportunity for me to be here. It's wonderful for me to start here with such a loving congregation. You guys have taken me and my family in, and it has been wonderful. Since the moment I walked in this door, I knew this is where I was supposed to be. Pastor Manning had been praying for hours. I've been praying for hours, and it wasn't until maybe Thursday night when the Lord finally told me what I'm supposed to say and what I'm supposed to have on my heart, and I was really worried because he never gave me anything until then, but I think he kept me honest. He taught me to persevere. He taught me you need to keep praying. You rely on me. You don't rely on you. You rely on me. So thank you for your support, and I'm just going to give you what he had given me tonight, and I hope it touches you the same way it touched me. One of the biggest life lessons my mom always taught me was to never talk to strangers, right? So I'd like to start by saying I'm 18 years old, and about 11 years ago when I was 7 or 8, me and my sister actually decided to make the best decision of our lives. And at 8 years old, looking back, I thought, 8 years old, I would never make that decision. I don't even know what that means. But at 8 years old, I walked up to the altar with my sister, and we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior at VBS, at Heritage Baptist, under Pastor Carl Petty. And that was probably the best thing I could have done, because going through high school and that kind of teenage years, knowing what goes on, seeing what goes on, had I not had God by my side, I'd never made it through it, ever. But around that same time, when I was 7 or 8 years old, I was diagnosed with a disease called Perthes disease. Now, this disease is a crippling disease. I wasn't supposed to walk. I'm not supposed to be standing here today. I'm supposed to be in a wheelchair or walking with a raised shoe of 6 inches or more. So that, to me, is a miracle. And at 8 years old, you don't realize that. You walk out of the doctor's office and realize I can go play again, right? Where's the football? Where's the basketball? That kind of thing. And that's all I cared about. But I don't want to jump ahead. I don't want to mislead you. We go into our first doctor's visit because the doctors had no idea what it was, and so they diagnosed me, and it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt. I couldn't see it. It was nothing. It was just happening. And as we went on and we went on and we went on with these doctor visits, it was just progressively getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. And I didn't know what to do at 8 years old. Sit on this couch for 24 months. You can't move. If I step off this stair wrong, I could break my hip and be in a body cast the rest of my life. How do you tell an 8-year-old that loves to play football, loves to play basketball, run around outside and hurt himself for fun? You know, you don't get it. And going to my worst doctor's visit, well, what was supposed to be my worst doctor's visit, my mom had not eaten for 2 weeks. I don't know. And I'm looking at her going, Mom, what is the matter with you? You always taught me to eat my vegetables and eat my fruit. Why are you not doing that? Why are you not eating anything? Well, because she was fasting and praying. I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means. She's just not eating, and she's drinking a lot of juice. That's what I think. And I don't know why. But we go into the doctor visit where he says, we're going to get you an order form for your wheelchair. We're going to get you these different things so you can order your shoe. Because one day, you know, this is just going to stop growing. You can't walk for 24 months. And as we walk in, he gives us the bad news and says, you know, this is going to be the worst one. He comes back with the x-rays and says, I have no idea what happened. And neither did I. Well, my mom did. My mom had a prayer answered that day, and I walked out of there with a completely healed hip. Completely. And that wasn't because I sat for 24 months. That wasn't because of my own. You know what I'm saying? That's not because I did anything. That's because he did. And he did it for me. And there's been more than one miracle in my life. And my mom in high school always told me, you're just a little bit different. Now, at first, what does that mean? You don't tell me I'm different. What is that? But she always told me, you're not a regular high school kid. You're further ahead than that. And I always thought she was full of it. I always thought she was. But I was playing football my junior year, and in football is just, I love to play football. I love it. Stressing through school all day with the people, shouldering you, you know, running into people, teachers making you mad. You just go out there and you just hit someone as hard as you can, and you just feel so great. You just feel so great, you know? And we had been having a good season. It wasn't the best, but it was really fun. I was with people I liked. I was with my friends. I was doing something I loved. And I think it was maybe the sixth or seventh game of our season, I had gotten injured and broke my wrist in one of our football games. Now, this was the second play of the game. My dad comes down on the sideline during that time and asks me what's going on. You know, what's wrong? Do we need to go to the hospital? I told him no. So I stuck it out till halftime. Halftime, he tells me. He doesn't ask me. I don't have an option. You're going to the hospital. And so I get this bitterness. I get this anger. I turn away. I say, God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do? I'm 16 years old trying to play football. What did I do to deserve this? You know, I just want to play football. You allowed the Perthes disease to happen for my mom. I realize it's for my mom. You give me this now. Why am I so injury prone? Why is it like this? Well, I get there and we walk in and we're checking in and I get my awesome little wristband and I sit down and I turn and I see my Aunt Heather. She had been battling some depression and other problems like that. And at this time, I'm not thinking anything of it. You know, I'm still bitter. I'm still angry. Why am I here? This isn't funny. This isn't right. And so I'm going through this whole hospital ordeal, and I'm getting put in a cast. And I realize as he's putting this cast on me, I'm feeling this warmth harden around my arm. This is me for the next 2 months. This is me for the next 8 weeks. And God comes down and he slaps him right in the face and he says, it's not about you. It's not about you. See, had my dad not made me wait till halftime, had my dad not made me wait till halftime, I'd have been too early. Because God's in time, on time, every time. Okay? And I believe that to the full extent of everything I have in me. Because if we'd have been too late, if I'd have waited the whole game, would it have been too late? Because I left early would have been too early. No, he made me wait till halftime to leave so I could meet her and she could talk with me and my mom and my dad. That's why. Because it's not about me, see. And I've really come to realize that night. The pity party needed to end. I can't be angry at God. I can't be mad at God. I can't turn away from him. I needed to accept that because she needed us. She needed me and my parents to speak what God wanted to tell her. You know what I'm saying? She needed to hear that. And so I had to accept it. And it's funny to think, because God's a funny guy, it's funny to think that I'm walking around and I'm mad and I'm angry and I'm having this pity party and I'm, you know, and I finally realize it's not about me and I walk into a hospital room and she's, how are you feeling? And I say, I'm doing great. Doing awesome. Well, that's the only thing I could do. That's the only thing I could do. I couldn't put it down. God said, you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to like it. And I said, okay. So she asked me how I was doing. I said, I'm doing fine. How are you? So my disease, looking back, wasn't for me to have a pity party. It was for my mom to have a faith builder. It was a big eye-opener. As we get into the Word a little bit, I find myself daily, especially this past week, acting a little bit like Gideon does in Judges 6:13. And he says, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this befallen us? Well, he doubts God. He asks, why, Lord? You know, many of us tonight ask the question, why, Lord? Why are you doing this to me? Why have you taken the loved one from me? Why am I losing my job? Why have I applied for this job, but the other guy gets it instead? Why? Well, who are we to ask God why? Who are we to question him and doubt him? We're going to question him in the hard times, but how often do we bless him in the good times? How often do we say, Lord, thank you? We always go, why, Lord? We can't say, thank you, Lord. And I do that a lot. I do that a lot. When something little goes wrong, oh, man, why is this? Why is that? Why is that? Well, how about when I wake up in the morning? Why can't I say thank you? How about because I'm walking and standing on my own? Can I not say thank you daily? Why can't we do that? And I'm just as guilty of it. It's something that I really need to quit. We can't blame God. We can't blame God. In verse 14, God replies to Gideon and says that he is the one who will save Israel from the Midianites. So now the Lord is calling Gideon to complete a certain task, and that's pretty scary because I've been there. And I tried to ignore the call. See, I was walking through high school wanting to be an architect, and I was taking all these math classes, and I was taking all these, I was even doing chemistry classes. I was doing all these classes to get my math ready and everything ready for architectural engineering because I wanted to go to Western University and be an architect and be a great one. So I had to ignore that call. Maybe I was supposed to be a preacher. Well, he sends you a bunch of signs. I don't want to be a preacher. That's just too much for me. I don't want to do that. I just want to sit behind a desk, and I want to draw pictures. That's what I want to do. But we went down to Clear Creek Baptist, and the guy who was walking us through, the administration counselor, I guess you could call him, said, I'm not going to press you in anything, because if it's a real call, you'll know it. Well, since that day, every day since that day, God said, you ready yet? Are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? See, he taught me the perseverance that he has. See, when he tells me you need to keep praying because Thursday is going to come around, I'm finally going to give you something. So I'm going to worry you real good and make you stress about it, and then I'm going to give you something. You got to persevere. See, because God does the same thing. Are you ready? Nope, okay. Are you ready? Nope, okay. Are you ready? See, Pastor Manny came to me, and God said, you're ready now. And I said, no, I wasn't. But I had to be, right? I told God often, I'm not the guy for the job. Many excuses. I tried to convince God. Got the wrong guy. Tried to convince God. Got the wrong guy. Daily I would try that. And Gideon tries that in verse 15. Gideon says to the Lord, behold, my family is poor. And I am the least in my father's house. Now what they don't realize is that it is not an easy job. We need to understand that God is not the He never calls the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that's how I felt. So Lord, I'm 16 years old. You give me this calling. I know like one good Bible verse that I've loved my whole life. What am I supposed to do with that? You know, like how? And I'm not equipped for the job. I can't do it. And he says, you're right. You can't do it, but I can. You can't do it, but I can. And I had to realize that. And he had to be my leaning rock. I had to learn, and I had to be disciplined, and I had to make myself calm down and go, okay, I'll do it. Now, when Pastor asked me to preach, my first thought was I'm 18 years old, and I'm not qualified to preach to people that are probably better at it than I am. But I soon realized if I obeyed, all is well. If I obeyed, all is well. And Gideon learns that in verse 16. The Lord says to Gideon, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Gideon thinks God's crazy. How am I, as one man, going to go out and beat these Midianites as one man? Well, I thought God was crazy too. But here's why. These thoughts came because why? Because me and Gideon had a problem, you see. Me and Gideon, like Pastor did a couple weeks ago, we like to drive. We like to drive our own car. We like to drive our own life. See, me and Gideon couldn't step out and get to the passenger seat and just, all right, God, it's you. That was our problem. The reality is that God is God. And we can do all things through him if he has called us to do it. And that's the bottom line. In our own strength, we would fail miserably. We would always fail. We would never win. Couldn't do it. But through Christ, we are more than conquerors. We can't do it alone. I know that. We can't. And I think we would all agree that many of us try to do it alone, stuck in fear and lack of confidence. Many of us, and I had experienced it, maybe many of us are stuck in bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. You cannot trust God because he's let you down. And that's understandable from the human mind. Well, that's right, he did let you down. Why would you trust him again? Well, that's right, that girl cheated on you. Why would you trust her again? See, God isn't a human. You can't hold him to the same standards. You can't do that. And until you don't, you'll be stuck in bitterness. You'll be stuck trying to drive your car alone, and you're going to crash. Many times you're going to crash. It's almost like me holding this mirror up, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to talk to you, but see, all I can see is myself and what's behind me. See, we're stuck in bitterness because we're stuck in the past, okay? And my past is behind me, and that's all I can see. And until I get rid of that and drop the mirror, I'm not going to be able to move on. And I can't just drop the mirror myself. I have to ask God to do it for me. As long as this mirror's up in my face, I can't do anything but see myself and try to do it for myself and lead myself. And I will never lead myself to salvation. I will never lead myself to victory. See, God's already won the fight. All we got to do is jump on board. That's all we got to do. And it's so hard for us to. Why? Why has it got to be so hard for us to do that? We got to realize that's not about us. You'll never move forward until you get past the past. You got to get past the fear and insecurity. You got to drop the mirror and see the world for what it is. God has a great provider. He's a great leader, and he's just a great God. And you'll never get out of your past until you ask him to do it for you. And so tonight I ask you guys, are you living with a mirror in your face? Are you bound by the past? Are you mad? Are you angry? Are you still bitter? Are you unforgiving? It's all staring back at you every second of every day. Are you so caught up in yourself that you can't see what the world needs? I'm asking you to get rid of the mirror. Bring it to God and lay the mirror down. Give him the bitterness, anger, pain, and see life in a new way. See the big picture. You got to see God's picture. See, God has drawn a pretty picture. He's drawn a beautiful picture. But we're never going to see it. See, that picture is God's will. It's not your will. The picture is God's will. And his will be done, whether you like it or not. His will be done. Until you drop the mirror, you remain stuck right where you are. Not because there isn't a way out. Jesus is the way. But because you choose to stay where you are, we all have choices to make. I came to the realization that it's not about me, it's about the dying world. I could have chosen to continue my direction in architectural engineering or choose to submit to surrender to God's will. If I go to architectural engineering, who am I liable for? How many people would I be liable for? Accountable. How often would God say, you could have changed that. You could have changed that. I could have helped you change that. But you decided to go your own way. See, that's what happens when you drive your own car. You're held accountable for a lot of different things. And you can't do it. When Gideon finally made the choice to surrender and become the great man of valor, that's when everything got easy for him. You see, he was stressing out because he didn't know what to do, because he couldn't do it. But when he dropped his mirror and realized that he needed to do it through God for these people and not for himself, he became a great man of valor. As we close the night, I ask you, do you know Jesus? Has there ever been a time in your life that you submitted your life to him and accepted him as your Savior? I challenge you to make that choice tonight. Come to the altar, and we can show you from the Bible how you can do that. If you're sitting there saying, I have a mirror in my face, I'm stuck in the past, I urge you to lay it down tonight. I urge you to drop the mirror and move past your past. Get out of the bitterness, get out of the anger, and out of the pain. It's not where you're supposed to be. But you need to realize that it's not about you, and you're not going to do it alone. You're not going to do it alone. You can't do this, but God can. Will you trust him tonight? As Adam comes and Adam sings, and set things straight with God tonight, confess your sins and ask him to cleanse you. Let him take over the driver's seat. Let him lead you, because it's not about you. It's about his will. We're going to have an altar call as Adam sings, and I just urge you to come and drop the mirror. And like Pastor did this morning, I'll stay here. I got all night. people keep coming, I'll keep walking back and forth. I'll be here. Adam will keep singing if it's okay with him. But I'll be right here. And I'm not going to stop until the Holy Spirit stops moving you. If that's one verse and nobody comes, so be it. If that's all the verses three times plus four choruses, I'm fine with that too.